Go pass it, Lord.
See my imagination.
like it. And we sometimes forget what he already did. Hallelujah. We can't always just sing this song, but if we sing it, amen, if we just start to praise the Lord, amen, if we just let our faith catch hold just a little bit, we can sing more than enough. Come on, let's take it out, everybody. You're my Lord forever. Everybody, one voice, you're my Lord.
You're my Lord forever. My God, my answer.
Come on, you're my Lord, everybody.
You're my Lord forever.
What did God say? You will survive.
You will survive.
You will survive.
Come on.
You will survive.
Come on, everybody.
You will survive.
Come on,
hold your eyes.
Tell the Lord.
Testify.
Come on.
You will survive.
You will survive.
Come on.
You will survive.
Come on.
Yeah.
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 Yes, you will.
Yes, you will.
Amen. We just thank God for everything that's transpired now. We know that this is West Sunday.
That's Sunday?
I mean, this is not a trick question.
Not
a trick. Which Sunday of the month is this? The what? So I'm not supposed to be the speaker. But unfortunately, my wife got sick through the night. And actually, she was still trying to prepare up until 8:30 this morning. So at 8:30, she said, well, I don't have, she just didn't feel strong enough to do it. So she asked if I could do it. Now, I could have called someone. If I had called someone, who would have been ready to step in on the spot?
Mother Mackin?
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's, remember all that now. Because I remember one time I needed somebody a bit early before I need more time. Amen. But nevertheless, we just thank God. How many glad to be saved? How many glad you know the Lord? In this day and time we're living in, if you don't know the Lord, you better find out who the Lord is in a hurry. Amen. Jesus, bless the Lord. We thank God for everything. Amen. As we said, thank God for all the family that's traveled from out of town. You know who you are. I'm not going to name names because we start naming names. If you leave out somebody, you get in trouble. So we thank God for all the family that God gave traveling mercies and traveled here safely from out of town. Amen. Thank God that this afternoon we have a mind to praise the Lord. Amen. So now, a lot of times when we come to church on Sundays, even in our pastor's meeting, one of the things he taught us is on service on Sundays, don't preach a Friday or Wednesday night message. Amen. You know, so sometimes we try to fit the typical prototype of what a Sunday service should be like. Amen. And a lot of times I've done that in the past when I felt God was leading me a certain way or to do a certain thing. I tried to fit the stereotype or the prototype for how service is supposed to be. Amen. But through the years I've learned you can preach the prototype, but if it don't change the soul, you have to do something. You have to do what God leads you to do. Amen. Right. So on today I'm going to do what God led me to do. You know, it's kind of, God's amazing, because the time my wife told me at 8:30 that she couldn't do it, God just instantly put a message on my heart.
I said, wow,
that's a Friday night message, though. How come I can do that on a Sunday? God said, who told you to follow the prototype? Because Bible said, men are led by the what? Well, the prototype don't make room for the Spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When you follow the prototype, then you have to do what everybody else does, the way they do it. Amen. As I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, my greatest concern is that we are saved.
Sir.
That's the only thing that matters. It's not matter, pastor preach, or elder preach, or minister, or whoever, evangelist, it's not important. No matter how much they preach, when you leave, Has the word found a lodging place in your heart? Amen. So many times we try to accentuate self, and accentuating self or following the typical stereotype, we leave God out. But my greatest concern today is that we all saved.
All right.
My concern is if you don't know the Lord, that through the message you will find the Lord.
Amen.
That's what I'm concerned about. Amen. Amen. I don't have to have my name blazed across the marquee. God's word is God's word.
Right.
Amen. Somebody said, well, what's so great about God's word? When Balaam couldn't hear from God, God used a donkey to speak, right? But there still was God's.
Mm-hmm.
So who's in the position doesn't matter. As long as they can hear from God, amen. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Isaiah, the 38th chapter, amen. The praise team has saved our souls, haven't we?
Hallelujah.
We've heard great testimonies, but we still have to be saved. I don't know, I think in Isaiah right, the summer is in, the harvest has come, but we are still not saved. In other words, all of the formalities, all of the things that are necessary have happened, but we're still not saved. And today, my concern is that we're saved. Amen. May the word of God find a lodging place in my heart. So we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 5 of Isaiah chapter 38. And after we read, I'll give you our message. Amen. Now, don't leave me yet. Verse 1 reads, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set
thy house in order,
for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walk before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have
heard
thy prayer. Don't we want God to hear our prayers? I've heard thy prayer. He said, and I've
seen thy tears.
I'm so glad we got a personal God. Amen. God's not an extemporaneous outside God, but God's involved. He said, I've heard thy prayer. He said, I will add unto thy days. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon. Lord, we don't take anything for granted, but we're thankful. Lord, in light of all the catastrophes, the disasters, the violence, and things that are taking place not only across this the country, but across the world, we thank you, Lord, that you've been good to us. And our heart's desire this afternoon, Lord, is above all else. Lord, above fortune. Lord, above fame. Lord, above a big name. Lord, above where I live and where I drive. Lord, above where I work. Lord, above the shoes that I have and above the clothes that I wear. Lord, today, above all else, I must be saved. And Lord, as we make this divine request to thee, we ask you to send the word, oh God, hallelujah, that it may prick some lost soul, that it may cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, send a word that would touch some soul that's in trouble right now, that they might want to draw closer to thee. Lord, send a word to help someone that's weak and feeble-minded to say that I'm strong. And Lord, send a word so that the strong would bear the infirmities of the weak. And Lord, send a word so that we as a church and as a body of Christ would be unified and all have the same mind and the same accord. And for this prayer, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The first verse reads once again. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die, not live. And our message today is your house in order. Our message today is your house in order. And if we were to have a subtopic, it would be, have you settled your account? Is your house in order? And have you settled your account? Amen. We're all familiar with accounts. Anybody have a bank account? Even in school, they used to teach us how to settle our accounts. Amen. We are familiar with an account. Now, if you have a bank account, and if you make $300 and spend $500 on that account, you are what? You're in the negative. Right? You're what they call you in the red, so you have to do something to do what? Settle that account. To ignore that account doesn't make it go away. Amen. To go out and have all the joy and pleasures does not fix that account. And then there are times when we can allow the account to get so far behind that we have to find another way to settle the account. So we go through bankruptcy to settle the account because we have not been as mindful as we should have been. And we've been neglectful, so we allow our accounts to run amok to the point that we have a bad credit history. Amen. But there's an account that no matter how much bankruptcy you file, won't fix that account. If you got an account with the federal government, which is the sovereignty of the land, you cannot file bankruptcy for that. If you have a federal debt, they know how to get you if you work. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I'll just let it go. You know, you fill out those tax papers and you're supposed to get so many $1,000 back. And when you receive what you think to be a check, it's not a check. They let you know I just took your check without your permission. And I put it on your old account. Well, why? Because you did not yet settle the account. Amen? So when you're dealing with sovereignty, you can't write that off in bankruptcy. Amen? And even when we're dealing with God, that there's some things in God we can let go. But when we got an account with the sovereign God, you ignoring that account, what will that go away? And you cannot even feel, you can't even file spiritual bankruptcy because you still got to give an account for that account. You have to give an answer for that account. So ignoring the account will not fix the problem. The church, now how many know God is a forgiving God? God is a merciful God. His mercy is extended and endureth forever. But the account, have you set your house in order? And have you settled the account? Now, a lot of times we think, well, if I let it go long enough, you know, if you let it go 7 years, you know the old 7 year rule, right? If you go 7 years, they're writing off. All you have to do is contest it, right? And they're writing that off. But how many know you can go 20 years with a federal debt and they won't write that off? In God, you know where he got the seven rule forgiveness from? The Bible. That's where it started from, the Bible. Even though God started the seven rule, and if you can make it the 7 year rule, and if you get the 7 years to be written off, there are some accounts. The 7 years don't write off. There are some accounts that the 7 years will not settle. There's some accounts that you got to give direct answer to God for. God said, now, maybe you didn't do some little things, and God said, I forgive you. But there's some things in your account you have not yet made right. So God said, have you settled your account Have you set your house in order? Then the good thing about Isaiah, about Hezekiah is when Isaiah went to him, he said, Lord, remember how I walk what? Before you. In selling our camp this afternoon, can we say, Lord, remember? Lord, can you remember, hallelujah, how I walk before you? Will you look at your account and say, Lord, please, don't look at that. Lord, don't remember that. Amen. Well, can you say, Lord, remember how I walked before thee humbly and with a perfect heart? I said, we ain't going to shout. Can we be seen?
Right.
If the Lord right now were to remember how you walked before him, hallelujah. Would the Lord say your account is settled? Would he say you've set your house in order? Amen. And because Hezekiah walked right before God, before Isaiah could even get out of the court, God sent him a message. Because he said, I've heard your prayers. And God said, I've seen your tears. He said, and you know what? Everything you said was right. And because you made a stand before me, because you settled the account, you didn't apply for spiritual bankruptcy to be forgiven for a debt that you know you owe. Anybody know you got a debt that you have not paid and you know you owe? Hallelujah, you're not paying unto God. I don't care how much you try to be forgiven and you try to forget. God is a good God. Somebody said, I did something 20 years ago. God will bring it back to your remembrance. Because ultimately, we must be saved. You know, we're focusing on so many insignificant things, but we know our account has not been settled. Amen. So you know what we do? Let me show you what the devil does to you. When you know that you're wrong and you're not right before God, the devil gets you wrapped up in other stuff as something to try to divert your attention. Amen. But then you get around somebody godly. You ever get around somebody who godly and say something? You say, wait, who's been talking to them? Right? It happens. God was speaking to them. Because God knows that you didn't have enough of an ear to hear in church. So God said, I'm going to send another witness. Because out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible said, let every word be established. So I wonder this afternoon, have our accounts been settled? Have you set your, we worry about everybody else's house, and our house is not in order. Amen. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Have you settled your account? What do we sell all of our accounts at? The what? The judgment. At the judgment, Paul had written to the Hebrew brother and said, it's appointed unto man how many times to die? I'm trying to figure out how in the world they look at this reincarnation. But the Bible says you're born in what? Well, if it's reincarnation, you're going to die more than one time, right? Amen? So it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that death it is?
Judgment.
It is a judgment. Appointed unto man once to die, and after that there is a judgment. Amen? So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I lost my place. Give me 1 minute, please. Chapter 32, and maybe I forgot to put it down. Oh, no, here it is. We're just going to read one verse of scripture for the sake of time here. Well, actually, two verses. Verses 18 and verse 29 of chapter 32. Today we're dealing with, is your house in order? And then you can ask the husband, is your wife house in order? And then ask the wife, is your husband's house in order? But is your house in order? You can't file spiritual bankruptcy to get out of this. He got to see in the Lord's side. So verse 18 of Deuteronomy 32 reads, of the rock that begat thee, thou art the very rock that begat thee. He said, thou art unmindful and has forgotten the God that won't settle the account. You're unmindful and you have forgotten the account, but let's drop down to verse 29. Now, all the scriptures in between, if you take note, you can read it in your spare time. Verse 29 reads, oh, that they were, oh, that they were, that they understood this, that they would, what they would consider the judgment. Oh, that they were wise, and that they understood, and that they would consider their letter in. Amen. So in order for you to be right with God, you have to be wise. How many know the scripture said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of
wisdom.
Hallelujah. You can't be wise without a reverence or fear for God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Moses is writing to the children of Israel and said, oh, that thou art wise, and that thou understood, and that you would consider your letter in. Things are not going to be as they are always. There is going to come a day of reckoning when we must appear before God. And the scripture says, when we appear before God, we have to give an account for the things done in our bodies, whether those things be good or evil, whether those things be done in secret, or whether those things be known. God said we must give an account. Oh, that thou wert wise, and that thou understood, and that you would consider your letter in. Things won't be as they are always. There's going to come a time that we as a people of God and those that don't know God must give an account done for the things done in our bodies. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you can't make that account if you're not wise, because a lack of wisdom shows that you do not reverence God. Now we know, yes, wisdom is a principal thing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But in all of our getting, we must get in.
Understand it.
An understanding said, my life is a monk, it's a mess, it's going the wrong direction. But it can't get better because I keep running from God. I know as I expect my life. I'm not asking you to judge anybody else, because the Bible said, if we would judge ourselves, we would not have no need to be judged. And judgment must begin where?
The house of God.
The house of God can judge the world, but they don't want to judge themselves when the Word of God teaches that judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. And it said, and didn't God judge you if the righteous scarcely? Oh, Lord, thank you. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly? The ungodly are those that were once walking with God. Hallelujah. But they refuse to be wise. They refuse to understand. So they became ungodly. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Anybody? You got to sell the account. You got to make it right. You cannot file spiritual bankruptcy and say, Lord, just write it off. God has a way of getting things right. The Bible said, he that cometh to sin
will not prosper.
You can't go to bankruptcy. You got to get it right. He that cometh to sin shall not
prosper.
But whosoever confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. You got to get it right. Proverbs 28:13 said you can't cover that. That account you have got, you can't cover that. That was sin. The wages of sin. God said you got to get it right. And without the shedding of blood, there is
no remission.
The only way you can get it right is you got to bring it to the blood. You got to bring it to Jesus to get it right. Now in church, how do you know God's so merciful? So I've been messing up. I've been doing what I want to do for the longest. And nothing still ain't happening. So God's on my side. No, God's giving you time. Amen. God's giving you time. The Bible says this concerning God. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, But then all should come to
repentance.
Get it right. That means get it right. So you've been doing the same thing over and over. God said, you know what? I'm being merciful. Hallelujah. Because if I were to exact judgment on you right now, hallelujah, if I were to take you right now, you wouldn't make it. God says, I'm being merciful. Then I give you record and account after account to get it right, and you keep doing what you want to do because you think I'm a God that cannot see. But God said, I'm God and I see and know. Set your house in order. It's time to be saved. It's time to stop going through the motions. It's time to stop playing church.
Yeah.
Say, dear Lord, I come. Anybody ready to come to God?
Yes.
Dear Lord, I come withholding.
Nothing.
Now, what are you holding back on? Is that really your testimony? A lot of times, how many know people have learned to play church? All right, y'all all right. Y'all don't play church. Listen, you know, you ever look at some of those people on that side? They learned to play church. They learned to shout. They learned to song. They learned all the moves. Then what God is doing is still sin. Hello?
Yeah.
That's called what? Play a church. If I want to be real, I'm going to be real all the time. Didn't the praise team just sing the song, Jesus is real?
Yeah.
Didn't they just sing real? I can feel them in my hand. I can feel them in my feet. I can feel them all over me. Jesus is real. Is he real in your life? What does God really mean to you? Hallelujah. Will you leave today? Will you be real? Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
But when God says, I'm looking at you, and I know your thoughts. How do you know God knows your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Even right now, I know some of y'all's probably thinking some stuff about me. God, I know that. But it's still, you got to get it right. You still got to get it right. You cannot continue to play with God. You know, this just came to me. The Bible says God's spirit. Look at somebody say God's spirit.
Spirit.
We're not talking about the pastor's spirit. We're not talking about the church spirit. Look at somebody else and say God's spirit.
God's
spirit. We're not always strive with man. God's not going to keep fighting with you. God's not going to keep wrestling with you. God's not going to keep ignoring your role that you think God doesn't see. Amen. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Amen. I know it's a little out of order, but you know what? Can we be saved?
Amen.
Can we be saved? Those little things that we have not got right, those are on our account. You got to get them right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 11, let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. You know, because a lot of times we say, when I get old, you ever heard this saying, when I get old, I'll serve the Lord? Right now, I'm young. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to have all the fun I want to have because I have. When I get older, I'm not going to have anything else. And I can't give God anything. I'm just going to, you know, then that's why I'm going to say, Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord then. Because right now, I'm young. I got my whole future, my life before me. You talking about serving the Lord? This is what God's word says. Rejoice. Who?
Oh, young man.
Young man. Young woman, rejoice in thy
youth
and let thy heart
cheer thee.
Say, you know what, you can do whatever you want to do. And this is what, one of the young people that we baptized, I want you guys to thank God for the baptism.
Amen.
Brother Justice, Brother Jordan, and Sister Little Mia. Amen. But as we were baptizing, you know, right before the baptism, I don't know if it was a class, they said, why don't God just make us do what we're supposed to do so we can be saved? You know, that's nothing wrong with things like that. But God doesn't want a spiritual robot. God wants us a certain amount of love. Was that you, Jordan, to ask? Was that you to ask that question? Yeah, I think that was you because you smiled. He said, why won't God just make us do it? That way we don't have to have a choice. Because God wants us to serve him by out of choice. And not out of, he said, so rejoice, O man, young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways. God said, I have nothing to fight with you. You heard, and you know. And the scripture said, to him that knoweth to do. You know what that means? You know what's the right thing to do. You don't need nobody to tell you. You know, a lot of times say, come on, brother, sister, you know you don't. To him that
knoweth.
Knoweth. to do good to him that doeth it not, it is your account is not settled. Amen. So he goes on to say here that you know to do good, but God knows what's in thine heart and in the sight of thine eye, but know thou this, that for
all these things,
God will bring you into. So God won't make you do anything, but it's appointed unto man. You only come this way one time. You can read every book you want. The Bible is the final authority. It's appointed unto man. And after that, you don't know when you're going to die, neither do I. But the only responsibility God gives us in death is make sure you're right. That's the only requirement that God gives us. You don't know when, you don't know where, you don't know how, but you got to be ready. Have you settled your account? Have you set your house in order? Now, when it comes to this account, we're going to find out later that it won't be between you and nobody else. It's going to be between you and God. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we're going to go to verses 13 and 14. Now, that was talking about youth. Amen. The beginning, actually, the Lord had blessed me years ago that I wasn't going to teach on this. The beginning of chapter 12 goes through a stage, a step from birth to getting old, and then get to the point that we don't have anything to offer God. Amen. That's the whole beginning from 12:1 all the way down. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. When the evil days are on thy life, or the years when you say, I have no plan. That starts number one. But then we drop down to where I'm going, to verse number 13. Okay? Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Ultimately, in making a decision, the preacher said, let us hear the
whole.
The preacher said, I like that. He didn't just call him the man of God. He said, what the preacher says. Let us
hear the conclusion.
You know what the whole matter? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter of life. Amen? And he said, what?
Hear God.
Number one. Before you do it, somebody said, I fear this, I fear that. But you don't fear God. Number one, fear God and
his commandments.
I don't want to mess with that too much. Isn't that pretty self-explanatory? Fear who?
God.
And do what?
Keep
his
commandments.
This is the
whole duty of man.
The whole duty of man is to fear God and
keep his commandments.
And keep. Now, you got to set up an account. You got to set your house in order. And John writes that, if you love me, Jesus said, do what?
Do you
love the Lord? Do you keep his commandments? Somebody said, those commandments are some hard things to deal with. Then he drops down a little phrase in my commandments.
Not grievous.
You know what God said? He said, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that's too hard for you to do. If you
love
me. Amen. Who here married? Anybody here married? Y'all give me a wave off. Y'all married. In marriage, can the wife or the husband ask anything that's too hard within your means if you love them? I ain't gonna mess it up. Just ask a question. I don't mess with that a whole lot. If you love them, can they ask you to do something too big or too hard? Amen. No, keep on. I ain't gonna mess with it. You know what? That gives y'all enough to think about. I'm not gonna cry and get into some stuff with me. But how can you say it's too hard if you love me? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, the Bible is big and all those books and chapters and words. There's only one way that we show we love God. The love that we show
for one another.
Somebody said, I love God, and you treat the saints like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Treat the saints like ants, we leave it like that. You can feel the rest of it. By this shall all men know that you're mine.
Disciples are
you. The love that you have
for one another.
Doesn't it include the husband and the wife? And parents and children? No charge. Let's go to the next verse. Amen. What we're trying to do is we're trying to settle the account. We're trying to set the house. We're trying to set it in order. Amen. And then verse 14 says, for God shall bring God. Well, I don't believe it. Just keep living. I heard a preacher a message once. If that person that just went from time to eternity, if they could come back, what would they say to you? That person, I'm not here to judge anybody because the only one that decides whether we wind up in heaven or hell is God. But if that person could come back, what would they say to you right now? What would they say? Amen. Luke, I remember that chapter. I was going to go there, but I'll just repeat this. There was a rich man, I think Luke 15 or Luke 16, the Bible says he was very sumptuously every day and he did everything. Then there was a poor man named Lazarus. But they both died. Because nobody, you know what? Jesus is our perfect example. Did he live forever? He died. But they both died. And the Bible says that when the rich man died, he went to hell. Are they waiting place for the departed dead? And the rich man and the poor man then is also, he died. And he went to Abraham's bosom, which is paradise. Then all of a sudden the rich man, because before Jesus went down and took eternity captivity, you could see each other in the spirit world. Then Jesus went down and took captivity captive, and when he took it captive, then they were no longer in the same realm because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Can I get an amen? God, but when he conquered it, he took it back. But before he conquered it, the rich man looked over and saw Lazarus, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and touch me, because I'm tormented in these flames. You know what happened? The rich man had not yet settled his account. He had not yet set his house in order. Amen. So he said, send him that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and touch me, because I am tormented in these flames. Amen. And Abraham, which is symbolic of the Lord, said, no. He said, remember this, you and your good days, and in your days, and your good thing, and laugh with evil. He said, now he is confident, but you are tormented. He said, besides all of this, if I wanted to, I cannot change the divine order that I set. He said, because there is a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. There's a great gulf fixed between paradise and torment. He said, if I wanted to, I could let him pass over. Because the way a man died is the way he would be
judged.
He'd be judged. That rich man said, oh my God, if I knew. He said, if I knew that hell would be like this, he said, I would change. He said, so, he said, well, Lord, I can't change my present state. I can't change my present situation. He said, but I have five brothers that are still alive. He said, send Lazarus back that he may testify. Let him talk to them. Let him try to encourage them to change. Amen. I said, no, 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 it don't work that way. It don't work that way. You have a plan, but it's not my plan. He said they have Moses and the preachers. That's what I mean. Let them hear them. He said, because neither would they be persuaded The one came back from the dead. You know what he's saying? You gotta believe God's word. Somebody said, well, somebody come back and tell me. He said, no, you won't believe. He said, well, what proof do you have of that? In Matthew chapter 27, it says, when Jesus resurrected, around verse 52 or so, read this. When Jesus came back after the death, when he came back to life, the scripture said that he went back and 500 people, those that had died before, walked around the city. Somebody said, that ain't this in the Bible. Matthew chapter 27, I won't tell you why. So they went around and the graves of those that died opened up. Those people got up. Somebody said, that's a fairy tale. You can believe what you want to believe. Don't be a rich man and say, I wish I had you. Don't be a rich man. So they got up and walked around the city. They had been what? Dead. But they still didn't believe. Still didn't believe. Why? Because it takes an obedient heart and an obedient spirit to God. Amen. Go to Revelation chapter 20. I'm almost finished. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. I'm just telling you, you got to be saved. And I don't determine salvation. God does. Those things that you think nobody knows, God is keeping a record. Then he said, know thou this for all things. Actually, before we go there, can we go to Romans chapter 2? Go to Romans chapter 2. I want to read a couple of verses in Romans real fast. All right, then we'll go to actually 1 Timothy chapter 5, then we'll conclude in Revelation 20. My ultimate goal and desire is for you to be saved. If you don't remember anything else, remember to be saved and set your house in order. Amen. So Romans chapter 2, and in Romans chapter 2, we're going to go to verses, we start off in verse, actually, let's go to verse 13. Let's go to verses 2 and 3 because this is important. Today we're talking about, I'm trying to streamline this so that we don't take so long, but I think it's important. Who knows, this could be the last thing of our life. And then this being the last day of your life, you want to be able to answer with a clear conscience before God. Amen. Verse 2 reads, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth. God will not judge you in anything that's a lie or something that's not truth. Against them which commit such things, and thinketh thou this, O man, that judges them which do and think about this. That you're going to do what? Escape. You think you're going to escape God's judgment? There's a lot of things that can change, but one thing is for sure. The way a tree fall is the way that tree will be judged. Verse 13 says, now we come to church, we hear the word, but we fail to do the word. We hear the word, but we fail to do the word. Verse 13 reads, but not the hearers of the law are what?
Just
who do you want to be just before?
God.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I just do enough to get right with my parents. God sees you. He knows. Amen. Those secret things that you know, a lot of times, human nature is of such. You don't want people to know the truth, so you have to cover it in such a way that people don't really know the truth. But who knows? Got to be right before God. Amen? But the doer of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. And this is critical. This is the most important thing. Your conscience is the part of God that put it into you. The reasons between what's morally right and what's morally wrong. That's what God put in us. That's that God's conscience. And that only be clear to God. Amen? We show the words of the law written in their hearts. They shall not worship the Lord written where? In their heart. Their
conscience
also bearing
witness.
Right now, you judge your conscience. You judge yourself. It's not important what we think. God already knows it. Their conscience bearing witness, their thoughts being the means of what?
Accusing.
Lord, excusing them. Their what? Thoughts. So the heart, the mind, the conscience go. Your heart is accusing you. Your mind is accusing you. Your conscience is, how do I say, if you get all that right, then you say it. Amen. Being accused of you in the day when God shall judge.
Secrets of men.
What's God going to judge?
Secrets.
Well, you know what secrets are? That's what people know. No. But guess who knows? God. God is going to judge the secrets. So I said, well, that's all right. I just move. Let's see. Where don't y'all live so I don't think I'm talking about y'all? Nobody lives in Atlanta. I can talk about myself. I'm going to move to Atlanta. Nobody lives in Atlanta, right? Nobody moved to Atlanta. All right, I'm going to move to Atlanta so I can start all over. And nobody will know nothing about me. God still going to judge the secrets. What you ran from, you didn't get it right. You didn't set your house in order. So that same sin, going to follow you now. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I believe it's verse 4. That same sin is going to follow you from wherever you live to wherever, 5:24. That same, look at somebody that said the same sin. But not for you, because you're all right. Look, tell us, but not for you. It's the same sin, but not for you, because you're all right. But those that messed up and didn't get it right, they thought one was going to hide, right? God said, no, that same sin. 24 says, 5:24, son. Some men's sins
open before him.
Those are the ones that are in the secret. Somebody said, that ain't the secret. When it's open beforehand, guess what? That ain't the secret. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't the secret. Going before to
judgment.
It said that they're still going to what? Judgment. But they made it right
before.
But then there's some men saying to what? It's coming after you. It's coming after you. You can't escape it. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it. You didn't get it right before judgment. God forbid, if you didn't get it right before judgment, you don't want that sin following you up. You can't run from sin. You can't hide from sin. Because all that is, your sin will find you out. So you run your hide. Sin is sin. And it will find you wherever you go. So you need to set your house. Somebody said, I'll do it tomorrow. You don't have it tomorrow, so I promise you.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, look, can y'all stop looking down? Y'all look down. Y'all think I'm talking to you. Just look up and fake me out. But guess what? God already knows. God knows. It's going to be hard to build our church because I'm going to have to preach against sin. But I want a church that people live right. You got to live right. Come and shout, jump and dance all you want, but if you don't live right. Go now, let's go to Revelation. I'm going to call Revelation 20. And the rest of the scripture, God willing, if he gives them to me, I'll use them at another time. Amen. Revelation 20, let's go to verse 11 and 12. We're talking about the judgment of God. We're talking about setting our house in order. Paul tells the Corinthian church, he says, examine. Today is time to what? It's time to examine ourselves. Hezekiah would say, he would say, Lord, remember how I walked
before
the pastor. Remember how I walked before the saints. He said, remember how I walked out before thee. Because no matter where you go, you're always before God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are kind of strange in the mother churches. Not y'all, but y'all all right. That's a dog most of the time. Right? Let me use this example. I think you don't know about it, right? When I used to have a better physique years ago, right, when I was younger, you know what we did? We dressed to show our physique. Before it got like all out shit, everything went proportional, you know? Now you try to dress like a tent to cover the physique. But before we got saved, when I was younger, yes, I was an athlete. Guess what? I showed my physique. Yeah. You know, so we couldn't wait to wear the pants that showed our thigh muscles. And we couldn't wait to show the thing that showed our calf muscles. And the Justin shirt, so they could say, wow, you must be an athlete. Right? That's how we used to dress. God forbid if I get on this side of salvation. If I get on this side, and the very appeal that appealed to the flesh on that side, I try to do it on this side. I'm supposed to be reflecting Christ. I'm an ambassador of Christ. If I'm doing all that, I'm not reflecting Christ. Because I walk, come on, athletes aren't crazy. When they walk into what area in the place,
right,
it's following them. Amen? Women, same thing applies. I don't have to give no example, you know. You're not supposed to be advertising lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is when you create lust. Lasciviousness is when you create lust in somebody else. And I don't walk like a woman, but y'all know how y'all walk. And you know you're walking the whole time, nothing you can honor God. You want to see. You know, though, I don't know, they got all these things, now they got belts and notches and all this stuff. How many heads did I turn? God saw you. God was watching you. What are you advertising? What are you trying to show off? What kind of attention are you trying to get? God said, oh, you got to make it right. You know how you make it right? Cover it up.
Amen.
You know, you take a whole lot. Just cover it up. You know, and God forbid if we, you know, there are some, don't try to think of who I'm talking about, all right? Don't try and figure this out. I'm still talking about judgment. I'm talking about getting things right. It's bad if I go to church and I'm up in a muscle suit and everything. People can't hear what I'm saying for seeing.
Me.
That's right.
How do you hear God? They can't get past God for looking at you. That's the DR. You know them tiny. He's tiny. But I'm saying, what are you trying to display? You in the pulpit, and the women in church can't think about God for saying you. And you know what? They know they're dying. They're dying. Hello?
Hello.
You still got to set that house in order. Because whatever we do, our lives are supposed to glorify so they can see what? Your good work and
glorify your Father.
And I'm just as a lesson, I'm just still this out. When they see you, who they glorify? When they see you, who are they? When they see how you walk, who are they? Male and female. When they hear how you talk, who are they? You gotta set that thing in order. And if you don't set it in order, your account has not yet been settled. Revelation 20 says in closing, and I saw a
great white throne.
Great white throne, and him that sat up on it, from whose face
earth and heaven fled away.
Earth, there's something about that power. The earth fled. And there was found
no place
for them. And I saw, we're talking about the judgment. saw the dead fall.
Small and great.
God does not respect a person. I saw the small and I saw the great. And what did they do?
And before God.
They stood. This is the final scene of your life. This is the final scene of my life. I don't care how small you are, and I don't care how great you are. You gotta set your house in order. I saw them stand before God. And what happened? And the books were open. I saw this. Hallelujah. And it was no respect of person. There was no small partiality. That's why he said I went from the least to the greatest. And they all had to stand. This is the judgment. This is the final scene of the rest of your life. Look at somebody say, you don't start living until you die.
That's right.
That's a dual application, right? Until you die from sin, you don't start living because you're saved. But then until you die, you don't start living then, because that's eternity. Amen? The books were open, which is a
book of life.
I don't have to wait till I get there. Anybody can't rush through living the book of life? Maybe I'm in the book, maybe I'm not. If you have not settled the account, I guarantee you, you're not in the book. The only way you get in the book is you got to settle the account. You got to live right. You got to set. Y'all gotta forgive me. I don't do this all the time. If you're a visitor, please come back.
Oh, that's all right.
Amen. But if you want to be saved, time means nothing. Time means nothing. Amen. And the books were open, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of
those things.
What's in the book? Now, go steal my message. What's in the book? I'm asking you like to steal messages. When the books are open today, for you, what's in your book? God's keeping a regular account of all of our books. What's in
your book?
Your book. Amen. Of course, and they were judged out of their book. For what was written in the book concerning them. This is the final scene. As we all stand, and the elders come forward to minister to the altar workers. The final scene. In the final scene, look, spiritually, I like to look into the future. Anybody want to look into the future? You can't look into the future if you haven't gotten your present right. You cannot look into the future if you haven't gotten your past right. But because I've got it right, I like to look into the future. And I know I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad. And then the devil can't do me. I'm on my way. Anybody on your way to heaven, and you can say the devil can't do me no harm. The world can't do me no harm. Nobody can touch me because I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm so glad. Now right now, when you look, where are you looking? If there's anything in the book you forgot, God has not forgotten. We're going to be judged.